Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online,
this is the 63rd lecture on the Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, 18 says, Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Then Genesis chapter 2, 19, 20 describe a sense where Adam gave them gave names to all the living creatures. Genesis chapter 2, 21, 22 describes the sense when God created the helper suitable for Adam. To help you understand the latter verses, let me briefly review the creation works. On the fifth day, God created the fish and the bird. The sixth day, God created all the animals which could stand with their feet on the ground of the earth. On the same day, God created the first man, Adam. Then when did God create Eve, who was the helper suitable for Adam? It was after he led Adam into the Garden of Eden. Adam was created from the first heaven, the dust, from the dust of this earth. In 1984, when God taught me the message of the cross, he showed me the time when he created Adam from earth that was clay. He showed him how to mold him out of a clay. Under the tree, God created Adam sitting down. At the time, I was attending the seminary, and when God showed me the sin, it was a clay. He created Adam in this way and created the Garden of Eden in the second heaven, and then led him there. God himself created Adam from the dust of the ground on the earth. Eve was created from the rib, which God took from the Adam when he was in a Garden of Eden. Eve was created from the Adam's rib taken in the Garden of Eden, not in the earth. Even though Adam became a living being, the fundamental elements that created Adam was the earth, the soil. Therefore, the fundamental elements of the Eve, who was created from the Adam's rib, is also the soil of the earth. Eve was made from the Adam's rib, so why is it she said that she was made from soil? Adam's rib and all of these things are made of clay, and Eve was also made of clay. Dear brothers and sisters, before God began the creation works, he had all the plans beforehand. What to create, when to create, and how to create. The order of a creation and the method of creations were all included in his plan. He had a blueprint for all the creatures. This verse also revealed the reason why God wanted to create the helper suitable for Adam. This is all already set as Father God planned the creation. He planned it already before, in detail.
He says that the reason is because it is not good for the man to be alone. In order for human cultivation to take place, Adam had to have a children, and for that, of course, a woman wasn't needed. Have you ever thought about this? Just as God created Adam from clay, He also has the power to create the countless people from clay at once. Human cultivation can be achieved without necessarily creating life through a man and woman. Then why did God give a helper suitable for men and let them multiply and flourish? God knew that this way would set the most proper conditions for human cultivation. In this way, God designed everything for human cultivation and planned every single method to multiply the descendants. The evolutionists claim that this process happened by the chance over time is actually an incomprehensible idea. And if you understand God's design, other things will be easily solved. It's also a loving consideration of Father God towards those who are being cultivated. God the Father already knew that it would not be good for a man to be alone. In the very beginning, God the Father existed alone. For the countless age that you and I cannot even imagine, He exists alone, governing the entire universe. Since God has a humanity alone with divinity, He understood the loneliness when being alone. The loneliness that God felt was different from that of the humans, but it would be better for Him to be with His children than to be alone. Let's say there is an emperor who rules the whole world. Let's imagine you are the emperor. The gold treasure, of course, belongs to the emperor, and everything in the world belongs to him. But what good would the gold treasure be if there were only the emperor in the world? How lonely would you be if you had no servants or ministers to call you Your Majesty the Emperor, and no children to love and receive? There was no one to serve you, no one to run errands for you, no one to cook for you, no one to guard the palace. And you are the only emperor. So what good is the dressing up in the fancy clothes and wearing a crown? To be a worthy emperor, you must have a loving children, royal subject, people to serve you, and many people to rule. God also ruled the universe alone for a very long time, so we should be able to understand the loneliness that God must have felt. But God created Adam in His own image. He knew that Adam would feel lonely when he was alone, just as God would feel lonely when He was alone. God created Adam to be a being who resembled Him not only in appearance but also in contents such as a heart, a character, and a personality. Like all parents, God the Father wants His children to be like Him. Your children should resemble you. But if they resemble a man or a woman next door, it's disappointing. Your child will look like you, and you will hear people say, "He is your son," or "He is your granddaughter." It will be a bit disappointing to hear that, "I thought he was not family because she doesn't look like you."
Wouldn't it be nice if other people could look at your child and see something similar to you? Your child may be not necessarily resemble you, but it would be disappointing if he resembled your neighbor. Moreover, let's say your child is not a human being but resembles your pet dog. This is just ridiculous. So when God created a man, He made him in His own image and designed him to resemble Himself. We are designed and made in the image of God, so we have ears on both sides to hear well, a slightly raised nose, and two eyes to from our face. What if these body parts were on the back of our heads? How uncomfortable would we be to sleep? We probably wouldn't be able to sleep probably. When we think about these things, we can see with the eyes of our faith. If you have your nose on back of your head, you would not sleep well. So please look at everything with the eyes of our faith. That's if we believe that nothing happens by chance, but that each and everything came out of the God's precise design. We can believe that even birds and the beasts were created by God. Does an eagle with a good eyesight have three eyes? Is that why you can see a rabbit hundreds of kilometers away? Even an elephant has only one trunk in the center of its face and a mouth below it. When we see these things, no one can deny that all creatures came from the one design of the Creator, God. If there is anyone who denies this fact, even after all this explanation and the evidence, please bring them to me. They will not be able to deny this fact in front of me. Because God created Adam to resemble God, not only in the appearance but also in heart, character, and the personality. The loneliness you feel when you're alone disappears when you find someone with whom you can share your feelings. Therefore, God wanted to obtain the true children through human cultivation. That's why God intended to create a helper for the first man, Adam. God intended to give Adam the suitable companion as a gift, a comforter, and a helper. Woman was created as a helper for man out of the compassion, mercy, and the love of God the Father towards all living beings. God is love itself, and He desperately wants someone to share His overflowing love with. If you have a love in your heart, you will try to spread the love to those around you in some way. How much more so is God, who is love itself? God could have remained alone forever, but He planted the man cultivation that He could have someone with whom He could share His abundant love. Even though He knew what pain and the suffering there would be during the period of human cultivation, He began human cultivation with an earnest desire to have true children. And God created the first man, Adam, in His own image. Adam was filled with overflowing love of God. God also knew that Adam needed someone to share His overflowing love with. God knew this, so He gave Adam a woman to be His helper and to share their love with each other. Of course, for Adam's descendants to be burned for human cultivation, there must be a man and women. However, the fact that is that God did not create the women simply to have a descendant. He created them to be a helpers. Here, the role of the helper is to talk to each other, comfort each other, and give and receive the love from each other. God gave a man a spouse so that they can have a beautiful relationship of understanding and helping each other with a spiritual love that only belongs to God. This is the kind of a relation between husband and wife that God wants. If this is not the kind of a relationship a couple has, then there's no reason to get married and no reason to have a spouse. In this marriage relationship that God has permitted, if one of the two betrays, God will not forgive. In both the Old and the New Testaments, this sin is not forgiven. If a married woman commits adultery with another man or has a sexual intercourse with another man, she cannot be forgiven. So the Bible says that even if her husband asks her the divorce, it is not a sin. But the problem is that if a divorced woman marries another man, that man also commits adultery. From this man's perspective, he's just married. But if he marries a divorced woman, it's adultery. Our Lord says that is also adultery. In conclusion, you should not marry a divorced man. How thoroughly God forbids it. It's unforgivable. Moreover, if you are a believer, you should not fall into this category because the Lord speaks not only in the Old Testament but also in the New Testament. But today, divorces are becoming more frequent and easier. Has anyone among you ever married a divorced man, a divorced woman? Does that mean that have committed adultery? No, there should be a clue that the woman had a husband but got divorced because she had an affair with another man. Therefore, we must know the exact words of the Bible. It does not mean that a man are guilty simply because he married a divorced woman. However, after Adam committed the sin, the relationship between husband and wife gradually changed into flesh. The purity of a first love cools down. They seek their own benefits. They insist on their own will and want the other person to follow their will. Then fights arise, discord arises, hatred arises, and enmity arises. Also, as a lost interest, all kinds of adultery arose among the mankind and they gradually descended into the debauchery. As the end of the human cultivation drew near, the world becomes filled with the sin and even relationship between husband and wife becomes distorted and destroyed from the God's original intentions. Also, the last days are not the time to grow and multiply, but the time to prepare ourselves spiritually as a bride of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God commanded people to get married and be fruitful, multiply, rule, and govern. Also, during the time of Noah, there was only Noah's family of eight survived, and even then they had to work hard to be fruitful, multiply, and have more children.
That's why they would fill the empty earth again. And when the Lord came, the population of the earth has become sufficiently large. So since the Lord came, the bride's grooming for salvation is more important. Eating, drinking, getting married are not important. Now, so the Bible talks about how to dress up as a bride in many places. This sermon was preached in detail over 2 hours during the Saturday's evening service on August 2nd and 9th, so I will explain it briefly here. The first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gives us a God's clear meaning for marriage. 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7 is called the marriage chapter and gives a clear answer to the question of a marriage. I, the Apostle Paul, wish that all people were like me, he said. Apostle Paul didn't marry. He met our Lord when he was a young man. After that, he never married and lived alone until he was over 60. He said, I wish everyone were like me. He said that he wanted to all those who believe in the Lord to remain unmarried and give themselves to the Lord. Then in verse 26, he said, I think this is good. And because of a coming tribulation, it is good for people to remain alone. Even 2,000 years ago, people were advised to remain unmarried due to the impending tribulation. How much more so far, those of us living in the last days today? Now we are living in the very final days. So what should we do? If we have a faith, how should we live? These are not my own words. This is the word of God. I'm not speaking on behalf of the senior pastor, but I'm delivering God's words on his behalf. The New Testament's era when Jesus came is different from the Old Testament's era in that that is time of the imminent tribulation. But please don't say that 2,000 years ago and now are different. Life on this earth is at most 100 years. Shouldn't we be well groomed and go to heaven as the Lord's bride during our life? Even if the Lord does not return while we are alive, we will face judgment when we die. In fact, Apostle Paul never married and lived only for the Lord throughout his life, so he was able to freely travel around preaching the gospel without any restriction. He committed the serious crime of sending believers in the Lord to prison and persecuting them, but he met the Lord and truly loved the Lord. So he did not marry and was faithful until his death, and he has a high rank in heaven. He was free to preach the gospel without being tied down. Please don't get the words wrong. It doesn't say you can get married in the Old Testament era, but you shouldn't get married in the New Testament era because the Lord's coming is near. It says that it's better to get married in both the Old and the New Testament era, but it's more blessed to not get married and live only for the Lord. It means that it's best not to get married. But if you are so passionate about the lust that you cannot overcome the adultery, then you should get married. However, if you live as a person who loves God the most, then you are blessed. That is the shortcut to the New Jerusalem. In the marriage chapter of the 1 Corinthians, it is recommended to live without getting married and loving God the most. By doing this, you will cut off the world and love God the most. And this will become the direct route to the New Jerusalem.
Many people today think that marriage is something that should be done, but the Bible does not teach that. If you don't get married, you won't have to fight. You won't be hurt by the divorce. You won't be persecuted for coming late to church. And no one will ask you to go hiking on a Sunday. How much more heartbreaking would it be if your husband were a drinker, smoker, and a gambler? How many people get married and don't regret it? Some of you who have not read the Bible in detail or who worship through the broadcasting may find this word unfamiliar. However, this is not my word, but the words of God written in the Bible. These words are the will of the Lord written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But today, pastors who preach this message are rare. This is because, realistically, there are not many believers who love the Lord enough to be able to receive such a word. So in Matthew chapter 19:11-12, Jesus said to them, "Not everyone can accept this saying, but only those whom it is given. For there are eunuchs, eunuchs who are born, eunuchs even from another mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by man. And there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. In order to the New Jerusalem, there are cases where people do not marry and become eunuchs in order to love God, to get heaven first. These people are called the eunuchs who became the eunuchs for the sake of heaven. It says, he who is able to accept this, let him accept it. If you truly do not have the heart to place all your hopes on heaven, New Jerusalem, and to live only loving God, then you will be troubled when you hear these words. However, if you are a saint who is filled with the hope of the New Jerusalem, longs for holiness, there's no reason why you should not receive this word. As it says, he who is worthy, let him receive. We can receive this word with joy and choose a more blessed path. Our church members have clearly learned about the heaven and the earnestly desired New Jerusalem. If only you could exchange it for the New Jerusalem, you would not be afraid to give up anything precious in the world. In fact, many of our saints are taking this path. Of course, I'm not saying that you should make a vow without thinking, saying, I will never marry and will dedicate my life to the Lord. A vow is a great blessing if you can keep it. But however, if you cannot keep it, it's a change in your mind. You will bring about a great hardship. Chapter 5, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vowed. It is better not to vow than to vow and not fulfill. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. However, if you make a vow, you must keep it. That's a blessing. The verse says, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, and do not say before the lions that what I even sworn was a mistake. There are many people today who say this is a mistake. A believer from another church came to me for counseling. When their children were young, they vowed to dedicate their children to God as His servant. But as they raised their children, they found their children were growing up without faith. So what should I advise them? Should I tell them not to keep their vow? Since it is the word of God, I must say they should keep it. So don't say that you made a mistake when you made a vow. Most people say that it was a mistake. Some people make excuse by saying that is look took the vow because of the advice of the others. But please don't just make an excuse and say that you made a vow without knowing anything. You made it? Keep it, please. It says, why should God be angry at the sounds of your words and destroy the work of your hands, He said. In other words, if you make a vow and fail to fulfill it, it provoked God's wrath. You shouldn't say it was a mistake. When you do not keep your vow, He will be angry and destroy what you do, which means it will be difficult for you to be saved. Such a frightening words appear many times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. However, it is absolutely unacceptable to make a vow and then break it without any serious consideration. Therefore, if you are not sure about your own sinner, it is more important to pray with a longing and have a true heart and a complete faith rather than making a hasty vow. I will continue to explain next time about what it means that it is better not to get married. I will explain it next time.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.